The FDA approves Pfizer boosters for some. Plus, the SEC asks companies for more information on their climate plans. And surging gas prices in Europe have companies and consumers worried about an expensive winter.
There's plenty of gas companies in the UK that have actually gone bust as a result of this.
It's Thursday, September 23rd. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Food and Drug Administration has authorized booster shots of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for certain groups of people who've already gotten two doses of Pfizer's vaccine. That includes people 65 and older and for those at severe risk of infection, like healthcare workers, teachers, and grocery store employees. People can get the booster 6 months after the second shot. The Biden administration had planned to make a third dose available to all adults, but the FDA said current evidence did not support broad use. Six United Airlines employees have sued the company over its COVID-19 vaccine mandate. As the Journal's Allison Sider tells us, the employees say United does not allow enough exemptions from the policy.
These employees say they have religious objections or medical conditions that should exempt them from the vaccine requirements, but that United has made it very difficult to get those exemptions. And even for people who get them, the employees are saying it's not a reasonable accommodation because United's policy is basically that those employees will be put on unpaid leave.
A United spokeswoman says it's reviewing the complaint, but believes it's without merit. Facebook's chief technology officer has said he's stepping down. CTO Mike Schrepfer has been with the company for 13 years and will transition into a part-time role next year. It comes as Facebook faces sustained pressure over how it affects public health and safety. As CTO, Schrepfer led Facebook's efforts to increase the use of artificial intelligence that could deal with problematic content. The Securities and Exchange Commission is looking for more information about climate change. The SEC has sent letters to dozens of companies asking them to tell investors how a warming planet may affect profits and their ability to do business. European regulators have treated the climate threat as a priority for years. So is the U.S. starting to catch up? David Hodari is with us to explain more. He covers, among other things, energy and climate change for the Journal. Good morning.
Good morning.
So to be clear, these are requests for information. Yes, they're not demands.
That's right, Peter. The SEC's requests, and they are just that, were presented in the form of comments on company filings such as quarterly and annual reports.
In what type of information are they looking for on these quarterly reports?
The SEC is looking for any effects from climate change that are expected to be important to a reasonable investor. And that covers quite a wide range of issues, such as whether a company is at risk from litigation, whether the company may have to spend on green projects, or whether the shift away from fossil fuels could affect demand for a company's product or services.
Can these requests for information, can these disclosures have any meaningful impact on a warming planet?
That's a good question. About 90% of S&P 500 companies already publish voluntary reports disclosing statistics on carbon emissions and renewables, but critics argue those releases are often cherry-picked. If business leaders feel the questions in the agency's request don't apply to them, then they've been asked to explain why.
So if some companies are already disclosing some of this information, and other institutions around the world, like the European Union and the Bank of England, for example, already require this, why is the SEC doing this now?
So the SEC actually issued guidance around climate change in 2010. Those recent letters are simply aimed at enforcing that guidance. The fact that President Biden is in the White House is also part of it. SEC Chairman Gary Gensler, who Biden picked for the role, has made the fight against climate change a priority for his tenure.
David Hodari, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Peter.
That's David Hodari. He's a reporter for us in London. Coming up, Europe's short on energy, raising concerns about the cost of heating homes, and not least, the availability of everything from meat to beer.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, We know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Winter is coming and Europe is worried. Regional gas prices have soared recently amid weak supply, rising to their highest level since 2013. And that is leaving energy ministers scrambling to lock in rates for consumers and to ensure business has the energy it needs to power the recovery. Well, to learn what's going on, we're joined by Alistair MacDonald. He covers business for the Journal in London. Good morning.
Hi, morning, Peter.
What's causing the surge in prices?
Well, it's a range of things, isn't it? The European storage was left remarkably low. There was higher demand in Asia than people anticipated. Russia's not sending as much gas across. And then more specifically for the UK, where all eyes seem to have focused at the moment, there's the issue of the North Sea being a bit less blustery than normal. So wind power isn't coming on as much as they had hoped. There was also a power cable in between France and the UK, which shut down. So there's a range of factors.
Is wind a pretty big percentage of the UK power source?
It's not a huge one, but if you were to go to places like Scotland, you'll see a lot of wind turbines around, and then across the coast, there's a lot of wind turbines. So it's there, and it's an increasing part of Britain's energy mix, and it's a part of Britain's energy mix that they hope to increasingly expand. If it just been less windy, then everything would have been fine, but it was the sort of the combination of factors that made the lack of wind a bit more pertinent to this conversation.
Is the United Kingdom more vulnerable to this price spike than other countries are?
Yes, I think so, Peter. I think the UK has already had more expensive energy bills than its peers across Europe. Now in particular, prices in the UK are more than three times higher than in Germany and France, for instance, according to data. So I think that is definitely the case.
And what types of industries are particularly affected by the shortage?
Well, energy-intensive industries. So steel production is a great example, and the steel industry in Britain has had to stop production at peak times for energy. The Britain's steel industry is not what it was, and it's actually quite small, but any energy-intensive industry is being affected. But it's having a strange, or what seems a strange, side effect, and that's because the energy bills are so high that fertilizer production has had to close down. Fertilizer production is a huge user of natural gas, so their bills have gone so high that they couldn't use this to make nitrogen. And so what has happened is that a byproduct of the fertilizer industry is carbon dioxide, and carbon dioxide is used in a lot of industries. So it's used, for instance, to put bubbles in the beer that you would drink, and it's used in the food industry a lot, for instance, vacuum packs. So the vacuum packs you get meat in, they use the carbon dioxide to cleanse the oxygen out of there, because obviously oxygen will degrade the meat much faster.
And in addition to beer, there's actually like a really concrete, potentially serious issue here, right? That people's heating bills might go up this winter.
That's right. Eventually, a lot of people are on fixed contracts. So, and it's the same with industry, actually. A lot of people are on fixed contracts. So it's the gas companies that are taking the hit at the moment. And there's plenty of gas companies in the UK that have actually gone bust as a result of this. But when those fixed contracts lapse, then their bills will go up, likewise with energy. And for those who are on floating rates, then it will already be beginning to hit them. But to give a bit of perspective to this, it's sort of the talk of all this has reached sort of hysterical fever pitch levels, particularly in the UK. But the beer example is a good example. So I think it was two summers ago, during a major soccer tournament, everybody said that because there was less carbon dioxide, that beer would run out. Trust me, it didn't. I was propping up many a bar around that time, and there was enough beer to go around. So this quite often happens where it's obviously a problem and it's a serious problem because we've got a very inflationary environment at the moment. So anything that adds to that inflation is bad news. It's bad news for people's wallets and it's bad news for the government.
Alistair MacDonald, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Peter.
That's Alistair MacDonald. He covers business for us in the London Bureau. Thank you. And finally, good news for parents raising babies in this pandemic. Your child still loves you even when you're wearing a mask. Psychologist and Journal columnist Allison Gopnik reports on a new study of 20 moms of young babies that tracked any possible changes in the kids' reactions when their mothers slipped on and off a mask.
So what happened was the mothers and babies played and talked for 2 minutes, then they put on a mask for 2 minutes, then they took the mask off for 2 minutes. And as a control condition, you could compare what the babies did when the mom had the mask on to what the babies did when the mom didn't have the mask on. And what they discovered was that the babies seemed to be completely unperturbed by this. So the actual physical mask itself didn't seem to be the important part. The important part was the interaction between the babies and the mom.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. Please let us know what you think of our program with a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Peter Granitz for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.